Words from the 27th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest to follow, some on planks and others on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It seems to me a particular genius of this place that everyone who comes here recognizes Westminster Abbey is a real family, a family of welcome and of embrace. And so it makes us feel secure. It makes a preacher feel safe to divulge things he has probably not been able to speak of before, knowing that he will be understood and cherished. And so now, at the age of 65, I think I can share with you that I think I'm slightly in love. It may not be love, it may be a crush, but it's been going on for a long time. I don't think it can come to anything, really. I don't think it can, because the object of my affection is Dame Edna Everidge. I've always loved her. I was chaplain to the Piccadilly Theatre when Barry Humphreys was in residence there, portraying her marvellous character. Every week, I would watch from the wings in helpless admiration as Dame Edna skewered members of the audience, putting the spotlight on individual women and men, engaging them in excruciating interrogation about their clothing, the decoration of their homes, the colours of the towels in their bathroom, dragging them onto the stage for a carefully rehearsed humiliation which made every safe member of the audience feel grateful to be in the rear stalls and out of reach. It was all highly entertaining. One night, though, it became personal. Barry very kindly gave me a rather good seat in the stalls, and so I gave it to my mother. I went to watch from the wings and was horrified and alarmed to see Dame Edna focus totally on my mother from the stage and drag her up from the audience. A fearsome commentary about her clothes was followed by requiring to wear a chef's apron and to cook steak, eggs, and chips on a stove on the stage and serve them to other unsuspecting unfortunates dragged from the audience for similar abuse. By no admission, no Delia Smith, and certainly no Diana Henry, my mother found herself preparing food in front of 800 people, all the while subjected to the ruthless, critical onslaught of Dame Edna. What was my poor mother's reaction? Of course, to laugh almost uncontrollably with the rest of the audience. At the end of the show, Dame Edna presented my mother with a giant jar of Nivea with the words, "In your case, Possum, too little and too late." Over the months, I came to realize that although Dame Edna's barbs were well observed and acute, they were ultimately very affectionate. Those who cringed in horror of being pounced upon knew that in the midst of the encounter, they were being shown their human condition and were being enabled to laugh at the absurdities of life and of themselves. As Edna once said to the great Geoffrey Archer, "If you can't laugh at yourself, Geoffrey, you've missed the joke of the century." And the same, I suspect, goes for all of us. It certainly goes for me. I asked Barry about his use of affectionate but effective humiliation, and he said, "I do it because we are all in the same boat, and we need to see our own absurdities before we dare look at other people's." At the end of the show, I hope we have recognized the things which bind, the universal need to see in ourselves and others our singularities, our similarities, and to recognize each other's needs. In our second lesson this morning, we learn about a real boat, a boat which is sinking. Like our wonderful city of Westminster, the boat contains the complete tapestry of humankind, those with strengths in so many ways, and those who are weak in an equal number of ways. The pattern is set before us, that those who can manage by themselves leave first, and by their own efforts swim to the shore, so that the weaker can use pieces of timber to drift to land, to be helped by those who had landed first. The story ends with the wonderful words, "And so it was that all were brought safely to land." This story reinforces universal religious tradition that in God's economy there is no waste. Nothing, no one is superfluous. Everything and everyone has value. At the end of the story of the feeding of the multitude, Jesus Christ says, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing may be lost." Our annual civic service is a reminder and a challenge that all of us must look for the fragments that remain. Search out those who are marginalized and easily overlooked, who feel superfluous and unloved, whose needs have been improperly articulated. It is this injunction to gather up the fragments that remain that has guided our new Lord Mayor in her choice of charities for this year. For too long, the problems of mental illness, particularly in our younger people, have been unspoken, unaddressed, unhelped. Place to Be is presently working with 7 primary schools in our city, and the difference already made to the children's perceptions and attitudes about mental health are impossible to overestimate. Dear Lindsay, and all who hold responsibility in the council, I hope you will all gather armsful of fragments that remain. Lindsay, you have a year mercifully released from the perhaps necessary tribalism of political life to look and to see in a different way. Your position enables you to tread over any threshold you choose to discover the beating heart in Westminster, a heart which needs encouragement and acknowledgement. Yours is not an easy position. It is sheer hard work. And you can use your influence to change, simply by your presence, people's self-perceptions. You can ask questions, any questions, and especially awkward ones, and meet the people who actually keep the show going. Because my experience is that very often the real contributors to community life are ignored, unpraised, unknown, or simply taken for granted. That is, perhaps, unintentional, unavoidable. But you, Lindsay, can do something about it. Gather up these beautiful fragments, dear Lord Mayor, remembering that nothing may be lost in God's economy of love. We shall all pray for you in your vocation as Lord Mayor. We know that your sword shall never sleep in your hand, and that you will constantly bear in mind those words from the second lesson, which become your challenge and your measure. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Amen.